I was born bold.
Worth, all the workshop equipment you need on the go. Download the new Worth app today. The value of coin remained the same today at $3.48. What is your coin worth today?
Breakfast with Gary Ryan and Tim Watson.
Just love having everyone join us on our final day here, and we're getting a lot of messages still, Wispy, on why are you finishing on a Wednesday, the 17th of November? Why is it on a Friday, or what is it, the 18th? Because we've had our holidays back-ended, basically. That's what happened. No holidays through the year. They've been back-ended, so we've got to get out now. Otherwise, we'll burst the salary cap.
That's why. I never knew.
You did so.
No. You've done all the negotiation on my behalf, and I just fall into line, whatever happens.
Not joking. I went to Dimboola High about 10 years after Timmy. Literally held every record in the back of the athletic record book. Very deflating, given he left when he was about 12.
It was a small school.
This is. We just thought on our last day it'd be great to catch up with some of our favourites. Our all-time favourite is a man who, I'm not sure how it came about, we loved his work, we read his book,
yes,
and we thought, let's get in touch with him, and he's been a semi-regular on the show since, and his name is Michael Lombardi, and he joins us. Michael, welcome.
Hello, Gary. Hello, Tim. Happy start of your vacation. I didn't know you burst the salary cap. That's a good thing. There you go. Enjoy it.
Yeah, we're only paying about 65% of the salary cap here, but all is good. How are you? How's things? I mean, we're not going to get over to the States. We both love traveling to America and have done regularly, you know, since we finished playing footy. And we can't get there. I don't know when we're going to get there next. How's life over there?
Well, it's, as you see, we've been rather entertaining with our election process, which is always fascinating. But and we're getting ready to enter winter here in the Northeast and in the United States. So hopefully our COVID situation is expected to get worse, as you guys went through. So with the news of the vaccine, there's been some a ray of hope and a ray of sunshine that perhaps by summer we'll get our lives back to normal again. And let's hope so. We've been fortunate to have the NFL season upon us, and we've gotten through 10 weeks unscathed, and now we have the NBA getting ready to start up again with their big trade and draft tomorrow. So at least we have sports to keep us entertained.
Yeah, well, you've got Donald Trump too to keep you entertained over there, Michael. How are you going to prize him out of the White House? What's your plan?
Well, you know, we might have to get a couple of the guys from The Sopranos to come in and have a conversation with him. I don't know. You know, I don't think he's leaving. I think he's going to be a squatter. I'm pretty sure there's going to have to be some form of an injunction or intervention. But I would assume there will be some resignation once they. I think what they're waiting for is to the seal of the election results by all the states, which then confirms it, and then he basically has no argument to move forward. And you know, look, he got a lot of votes. 72 million Americans voted for him, so you must recognize that. And but, you know, the other side got more, and that's what happens in a democracy. Whoever wins gets to win.
Are you fearful at the moment about COVID and what's happening over there in the States, or do you think most people are understanding and have knowledge about COVID there now in America and doing what they need to do to keep themselves safe?
No, I think we really don't care about COVID anymore. I think there's a part of the population that is still weary, especially old guys like me that are worried about it. But then there's the youth population. I think Halloween is one of the reasons why we've seen so many of our college football games canceled. A lot of Halloween parties were going on college campuses, and there's a little bit of an indifference to this virus that because of youth, you can overcome it. And so we've had that going on, and I think, frankly, people are tired of having their lives been told what to do. You know, restaurants here in the United States have been occupying at about 25%. That's due to go down. There's a curfew in most states at 10 o'clock. Everybody must leave a restaurant or a bar. So I think there's a real lack of patience as we move forward, as we enter our second wave, because the first wave started back in March, and it doesn't seem like we've been able to make much progress.
Hey, Michael, you know that I listen to the GM Shuffle, your podcast, each and every week. I think it's the best American podcast about NFL football. And you often talk about how bad the New York Jets are at the moment and how they should tank for the draft so that they can possibly pick up this kid, this new quarterback. Well, not necessarily a kid, but by the name of Trevor Lawrence. How is it that in American sport you're able to talk so openly about tanking? Because it's not something that clubs could possibly contemplate being actively involved in here in the AFL.
Well, I mean, part of it is because of the NBA, because of Sam Hinkie when he became the general manager of the Philadelphia 76ers. He openly talked about losing to win. You know, but, you know, when you do that, you don't create a culture within your building of understanding how to do the things the right way. Whereas the Jets just aren't talented. I mean, they are just not a talented team. And with Sam Darnold's shoulder being a problem, you know, they resort to Joe Flacco, who played well last week before the bye against the Patriots, but really can't consistently play well. So it's not so much that they're tanking or they're trying to lose, because the coaches certainly aren't. Their talent level is so below the level you needed to play well in the NFL, they have no chance of winning. Like Jacksonville, I think Doug Marrone, he's 1-8 this year as a coach. I think he's done one of the best coaching jobs in all of football. Nobody will recognize it because he's 1-8, but he's kept his team competitive and working hard every single week, and yet they're just not good enough, and they fall short. And it's what I call those, you know, we play 60 minutes of American football, and some of these teams are good for 45 minutes, some are 50, some are 55, and then in the last 5 minutes of most of these games, they just fall apart. That's what happens to the Jets and, of course, Jacksonville.
Michael, I know you've followed the Essendon Footy Club. You've come out here and you've had a look at the organisation. Some big announcements and changes have been made there. I don't know if you're across all of these, but they did a review after a really disappointing year. You know about the handover from one coach to another, and the review's come out and it's identified a lot of key areas that they've got to try and work at. And the four things they said, they've got to develop a winning culture, standards and accountability, honesty and connection, play leadership and development. I mean, they're pretty consistent themes around the world for good sporting organisations. Are you surprised at this from an Essendon point of view, what we're hearing now?
No, I mean, look, when I was there, I think that, you know, there's a whole separate way of trying to deal with players, right? You try to talk with them and reason with them. And then, you know, you have to have accountability and you have to make people have consequences based on your action. And any leadership sport, you know, you've got to carry a big stick, and you've got to make people hold themselves to a standard of excellence. And if you don't, then you can't create culture. And I think that you can't kind of complain or whine to players to play better or to do the things. You've got to demand it. And the only way you're demanding comes with results is by actions. And if you don't do it, we're going to let you go. You're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. And I think too often, and as we move into this generation of dealing with some of these younger athletes, we try to appease them to get them to do it as opposed to demanding. And if they don't do it, we're willing to let you go. And that's what you must do. You must be willing to let the players go. You've got to fire some people to get what you want if you want the right culture. And I think Essendon needs to do that. And they need the players to understand that they work for the team. The team doesn't work for them.
Yeah, so you've got this unique situation from a handover position, and I don't know whether they'll go down this path again, but you had one coach. You say coaching it and allowing it to happen. I think reading Paul Brasher, who's the president, the outgoing coach was allowing it to happen because he was about empowerment and letting them have their head, and the incoming coach wanted to make it happen. And you had this clashing of ideals that would appear to have been the case. And it's little wonder in the end when you read the review that they've had such a disappointing year.
Yeah, you know, I have a saying, and they've never dedicated a monument here in America to a committee. Like, committees don't work. Do you ever see a committee that gets anything done? You know, they meet, they have more meetings. It's like people that are on doctoral studies. They never come to a conclusion. They just keep doing more research. Well, when you have two people in charge, you basically have no one in charge. You know, so it really has to be a paramilitary organization. It has to start from the top down. It can't be just a group of five guys in a band playing together and we're all going to collaborate on music. That doesn't work in football, in footy. It doesn't work in any real sport that's competitive. So you've got to have somebody who represents the culture. Because the number one job of any coach, whether he's coaching footy, whether he's coaching football or basketball, his number one job is to make sure everybody adheres to the culture. That's his number one job. It's not designing new plays. It's not coming up with new ideas or new schemes. His number one job is to maintain the culture that's been established. And once he lets go of that, and once he acquiesces to that, he becomes worthless within the organization.
Hey, Michael, we're talking to Michael Lombardi. Michael, there's been enormous challenges for coaching and teams right across the world during COVID-19. You've got two sons currently who are working on coaching staff across the NFL. What in talking to them, what are some of the challenges they've been confronted with that they didn't recognise from the outset around this COVID-19?
I mean, how hard it is to really practice and how hard it's been on their families. You know, on Saturday, typically, if they're playing home, they would get done work at 12 o'clock and they would spend most of the day with them at home. Friday afternoons, they would be home by 2 o'clock, spend time with their family. That doesn't exist anymore. It's the way that they've had to really lose family time with their young kids that has really affected them. And then, of course, the players, you know, they don't get enough time with the players. There's no socialization. You know, it's a little bit like our kids that can't go to school because of COVID. There's no socialization. So there's no team meeting room. There's no team dining room where players go in there and they hang out and they talk and they come together and they build and bond. And that's been one of the biggest concerns that I've heard from both of them.
What about the new young quarterbacks that have come into the game of American football this season? Who of those are you most impressed by?
Well, I'm really impressed with Justin Herbert. He didn't play last week, but I thought he's been really sensational. I think he's got a chance to be an elite player that can carry a team. And what he's been able to do from the time he left Oregon to the Chargers, without really a preseason, without an offseason, same thing with Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. And then Tua has played three really good games. I'm kind of a little bit surprised by Tua, not because I didn't think he was a good player, but just how much progress he's made in terms of his ability to throw the ball with great accuracy. So, you know, I think this Herbert kid's sensational, and I think the Chargers have got themselves a player that they can build their team around and can sustain success and perhaps compete with the likes of Patrick Mahomes, because to win against the Chiefs, you're not going to beat them 10-3. You're not going to beat them 10-7. You have to score some points, and the way you score points in our game is you have to have a quarterback that can drive the ball down the field, and Herbert can do that.
Hey, Michael, I know that you love The Sopranos, and Gary went back and rewatched The Sopranos. I did too at the beginning of COVID-19 when we were searching for something to watch on the TV. Of the Sopranos series and of all the characters, who's your favorite of all the family?
Well, I got to believe Uncle Junior is unfortunately so much like some of the relatives in my family that he makes me laugh even when he's not trying to make me laugh. You know, his humor, I mean, David Chase wrote him exactly as an Italian, an American from Jersey. His mannerisms, his glasses, his ugly sweaters all fit perfectly. So I would say him. I mean, I laugh at his jokes even though he's not trying to be funny. I laugh at him, and to me, he was perfectly written. And much like any great character, you know, when you write them so well that people tend to take on that personality, and I think Dominic Chinase really did a wonderful job within that character. So he would be my favorite.
I was a Paulie man, Michael. I loved Paulie. Did he have a really interesting background and history himself?
Yeah, he did. I mean, you know, he was really, most of the people on that show, like Johnny Sacramone, wasn't the character of Vincent Curtello, who plays him, wasn't an actor. He was a plumber by trade. Mm. And St. Pauli Walnuts was, Tony Ciro was also in the union. He was arrested for a couple felonies and, you know, and they kind of fell into acting. And, you know, Vito, the guy who played Vito in the Joe Garagiola, he's a chef by trade. He does gourmet cooking in the Northeast. And so a lot of them were just kind of, they found them and they fit perfectly within that North Jersey culture, which is, if you ever come back here, it's different than any other place you could be.
Well, we'd only go there with you. You can take us on a guided tour there. Paulie Walnuts, that is one of the great names.
Hey, we're not making a Western here.
Yeah, we're not shooting a Western here, Tim. You know, I mean, some of the greatest lines of all time. And remember this one. Anytime your guy's on vacation, you'll think about this one. Uncle Junior once said, sometimes people are so far out of the race, they actually think they're in the lead. And that applies to a lot of people we deal with.
It does.
On that note, we'll say goodbye for now. We'll be back in touch, of course, in the new year. But we just
call me when you get back. I want to hear about the vacation and how all the kangaroos are doing on the farm, all right?
100% we will. And thanks so much for taking our call. You're always great to us, and
thanks,
we love
Gary,
talking to you.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael Lombardi there, who's a great man. And his book was fantastic. The name of the book was
Gridiron Genius.
Gridiron Genius.
He's got another book
and
he's working
podcast,
on at the moment. GM Shuffle. GM Shuffle.
So get a hold of it. If you're into footy and you love what Michael talks about, no monuments ever made to a committee. I love that. That's what Michael just said. If you like that sort of stuff, get this book, Gridiron Genius. If you're into not just sport, they'll give you some lessons for life. They'll give you some lessons for business. It's a great read. So you can get it online. It's no problem there. But and listen to the podcast. He's a great fella. I'm going to go to the break, and Benny Gales, I'm joining us to kind of hop on and explain to the Richmond fans about the Jack Dyer stand being demolished for a 60. Mm. It says $60 million here in the press release I've got, a $60 million revamp. So let's have a chat with Benny Gale next.